I'm talking about coach of two-time state champion Sexton Big Reds and father of Denzel and Drew, and also a very important player for Judd Heathcote and the 1986 team, which still, I think, one of the favorite teams in Michigan State history. Fans love that team for some reason. And I always say it's not because of the backcourt of Scott Skiles, Daryl Johnson, Vernon Carr. It's all because of number 45, right, B?
Oh, man, you're just way too kind. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing fine. You know, we had Zell on yesterday, and we were talking about a game that his team won, and it didn't look like it was going to be that way for a while against Oklahoma. And Michigan State prevailed and then went on and beat Louisville and advanced to the Final Four in 2015. But you had a pretty special Elite Eight game coming after an incredible win over Georgetown in Dayton. But then you wound up playing Kansas in Kemper Arena. And one of the least favorite games in George Melvin Heathcote's career.
Man, that was still a game today that I have not watched in its entirety. I've seen bits and pieces and clips, but hey, man, what a game though! What a game! Sold out Kemp Arena, 1986. Over 23,000 people in the stands.
Yeah.
You know, we had the great Scott Skiles putting on the show as usual, but we had one guy who played out of his skin, and that was Barry Fordham. Barry scored 15 points, his career high in that game versus Kansas, and we had a chance. But, you know, I think back to that game, Jack, and, you know, we didn't do the little things right. You know, we didn't make our free throws and sent the game in overtime, and we ended up falling. So, you know, as a coach, I see it now. You got to take care of all the little things because they matter.
That was a team, V, that led the nation in free throw shooting, shot 7-9-9. Even with those misses at the very end, and it always bothered Judd because he wanted to have a team shoot 80%, and you were one free throw away from that, and you had good free throw shooters missing at the end of the game, and I always felt bad for Mark Brown coming in, and he came up there, no warm up, he just had to step up there and shoot, and that was not an easy situation. But it was such a crazy ending to the game with the clock stoppage and those 15 seconds running off the clock and then Kansas tying it and sending it into overtime with 9 seconds left. The basket would have been 6 seconds late. But the thing that I'll never forget is watching the coaches at the scorer's table. And, you know, we had a great view of that right there. And Judd is romping and stomping as only he could, and he was smashing the scores table, and that phone flew about 18 inches up in the air. And then Larry Brown decided that, you know, he wasn't going to let Judd get into the officials, but he did something even more dramatic. He grabbed the official's whistle, and it was on like a cord, like a bungee cord, and he pulled it and then snapped it back and hit the official in the throat. And he got a technical foul, and Judd did not.
That's crazy, you know, because I didn't see all of that. I'm glad you did. I didn't remember that part of the game, man. We were so focused on that clock stuff, man, that we didn't even, you know, see what happened. And, you know, nowadays, Jack, that wouldn't have happened. They would have been back to the monitor, and they would have taken time off the clock, and they would have, you know, they would have spent 30 minutes over at the scores table trying to figure things out. Larry Brown would have probably got tossed for a flagrant two. It would have been crazy. But, like you said, man, that was one of the greatest NCAA games, I think. Spartan basketball sports history, and I'll never forget it.
Well, that was the first time a lot of the country, V, discovered Danny Manning. And 2 years later, Danny and the Miracles would win the NCAA title. But that was a loaded Kansas team, And the bad part for Judd was people kept saying to him after that, you know, you'll get another chance, you'll get another chance. And he never got back to the Final Four after 1979. But 4 years after your game against Kansas, Michigan State had another one where he got hosed against Georgia Tech in the Superdome. And Kenny Anderson hit a shot after the buzzer. We have the picture in one of the books that I did. And it's a clear shot of the ball in his hand with 0-0 on the scoreboard. And that shot counted, sent it into overtime. And Dennis Scott and Kenny Anderson and Brian Oliver got the best of Michigan State in that game. So Judd had two of the most horrific Sweet 16 losses you can imagine.
Yeah. Amazing, man, for a coach that good not to get back, man. But that's just, you know, hey, a sign of, you know, how it is in college basketball. You just never know when you're going to get back there. So you got to really, really savor the times when you get there. When I look at this team this year, this team is really carrying Coach Izzo on a wonderful ride, pretty similar to Zell's 2015 team when nobody had expected them to go. And, you know,
that was another seven seed.
Yeah, they were a seven seed and had 10 losses going into the tournament. I don't know how many teams have 10 losses and a seven seed that make it to the Final Four. So, you know, I feel good about this team. They play as if they don't know what's going on. And that's the way you got to play in this tournament. You got to play almost reckless, but you got to play hard and smart. And once again, make the little things count. And they make their free throws, so that's pretty good. When you get Joey Hauser making his free throws, AJ and Tyson making a fair amount of their free throws.
Gee, I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but you know, I got punched by Judd Heathcote because of you.
You got punched because of me?
Yeah. It was after your second championship with Sexton, and Judd was really proud of you and proud of those teams and big smile on his face. And I said to him, you know, Judd, you never won another championship after 79, but V took care of that, and he got two of them for you. And I meant that a different way than he took it. But he hit me in the bicep, and I couldn't move my arm for about 2 weeks.
That sounds like Coach Heathcote, man, doing it off the cuff, man. He's one for the ages with that, man. He'll catch you off balance, man. But hey, winning two championships was probably the highlight of my coaching career. I'd say probably more so than being a player. And I've won several championships at DeMatha. We won all the time. You know, my first 2 years at Michigan State, we won all the time. But there's nothing comparable to when you're a coach, because you can't go out and play and you watch your players go out and execute a game plan and do everything right. And then they go out and do bigger and better things the second time around. So I remember the second game, I remember the guy from the MHSAA coming over to us, and we're up 39. And he yanked Chris Ferguson by the arm, and he told Coach Ferg, he said, hey, be mindful of the score. we're up 39. And then Coach Ferg grabbed me, and he said, V, be mindful of the score. I said, what does that mean? Take Zell Brennan Sapp out?
The problem is you had some other guys who could go in there, and that lead wasn't going to shrink much.
So, that's right. Absolutely.
Okay. You can talk about Magic's team in 77. You can talk about Sam and Jim Keaton and that Eastern team. And there have been some terrific teams. But I don't know that those teams would have gotten the best of your squad when you think about the guys you had going on and three of them playing Big Ten basketball.
No, that team was a very, very special team. They were a very selfless team. They never cared, you know, who scored the ball. You know, they all communicated on defense. They had fun in the locker room. They had fun on the bus. We had fun at film sessions. You know, we had fun traveling on the road. We did. That team had a lot of fun together. And it wasn't always fun. You know, we went to the Final Four three times in a row. In 2010, we got beat by Country Day 71-47. And, you know, we had to take our lump and our lesson before we were able to go on and win and get better. But, hey, let me tell you, that run was a very special run, very special players. And I would say that Magic Johnson is probably the best ever, you know, to ever play in Lansing area. But, you know, I'd put our team up against any team as far as one of the best to come out of the Lansing area.
You know, George Fox loves to tell the story about not having many rules, but one of them was that you had to be on time, and the bus was going to leave, and Irvin was late. And they were going to go to, I want to say, Battle Creek or Kalamazoo. But, you know, I said, okay, we're going to go. And he tells the bus driver, drive very slowly. And sure enough, they see Irvin pulling up, whipping up alongside of him and his dad, and he gets on the bus, and that was embarrassing, but they got him. You never had to do anything like that for your star player, right?
Never. If anything, I probably had to kick him off the bus. No, they were – them guys always they always showed up on time. And let alone, you know, we had other guys that could play too. You know, we had Trevor Manuel on that team who, you know, was a Division I player in his own right, you know, coming out of high school, signing with Oregon. So when you look at that team, man, we had four Division I players on that team, three that ended up Big Ten players, two NBA guys. And, my star players, I wouldn't say it back then, but I can say it now because it's after 10 years. They were all good people, and they were all good students of the game. They respected the game well, and that's pretty much why we had success.
Well, people certainly remember watching Zell and Bryn and Stapp, but a lot of them forget about Jalen Hayes.
Man, I forgot. Hey, I forgot. Jalen Hayes is the winningest player that I've ever coached. He won four district titles. He won four league titles. He won three regional championships. That guy's the winningest player I've had of all time, and went on to Oakland to be a 1,000-point scorer, and he's still a pro today over in Europe. Jalen Hayes, one of the mainstays of that group. He was 1 year behind them, so he went on to win another district title after those guys left. So who's to say Jalen? It wasn't Jalen Hayes that bought us all the good fortune we had. You know what I mean?
Well, I see him quite a bit around town, especially with Moneyball, and I promise you, I will not remind him that you forgot his name.
Please don't.
Hey, I wonder if you know any other father-son combinations who played in Sweet 16, the NCAA tournament.
Wow, that's a good one. You tell me. I don't know.
I was thinking
the other day, I don't know too many players that the father and the son led their Big Ten team in scoring. My senior year, I led Michigan State in overall scoring. Denzel led his team in overall scoring at Michigan State. That's a good trivia one right there, let alone being able to go to the NCAA tournament and play in the Sweet 16 game. Zell's far better player, far better star, far better everything than me as far as basketball. But that's a great question. Do you know of any father and son in Michigan State basketball history that have played in the Sweet 16?
There's none in Michigan State basketball history, but we are to the point now where we're looking at the Big Ten and seeing if there's any kind of a situation there. Rick Mount's son, Richie, did not do it. You can go back through school by school. Maybe Jet Howard could have been in position to do it, but Michigan didn't get there. And you can argue that those games were vacated anyway for Michigan, so they really didn't count. They don't show up in the record book. But I'm thinking that right now, all signs are pointing toward you and Zell being the only father-son combo with Sweet 16 experience, V.
Wow, that's pretty cool, man, to say that after, you know, all the years of basketball that's been played in the Big Ten and this played all around the country. I'm sure there are other father-son duels that have played in the NCAA tournament or the Sweet 16, but I just don't know of any right now.
You know, we had Zell on yesterday, and we talked to him about all the great moments in his career, and he said that two that stood out to him, of course, you know, the things at Sexton, but after that, were making it to the Final Four as a seventh seed and then being a first-round draft pick. And it's amazing. Well, you know what it's like in draft night. Everyone is excited about that, and so many players are disappointed, but it was a reality for him.
Yeah. That was probably, I would say for our family, that was probably the greatest sports thrill or greatest night. It changed all of our lives in so many different ways. And, you know, Denzel has been such a gracious and humble man that he doesn't brag about anything, doesn't talk about anything. You know, I always tell people about Zell, like, Zell still drives the same car that he bought his rookie year. He won't spend any money on himself. He doesn't do anything like that. But yet and still, he bought his mom a Mercedes-Benz for her birthday in 2021, and he, you know, helps take care of us and stuff. So, I mean, I would say, what a humble man. You know what I mean? To do something like that, and so gracious, man, and you know, always looking out for others and not himself, man. But the draft night was probably the greatest experience, man. We were just talking about that 2 days ago. We were with him, and you know, everybody else when their names get called, you know, they're cool. They you know, they stand up and then they walk to the podium and put the hat on and walk across. And when they say with the 14th pick, Chicago Bulls select Denzel Valentine, I think I jumped up, Drew jumped up, my wife jumped up.
Yeah.
We all jumped up screaming. We couldn't believe it. And all the things that flashed across our heads were all the time, energy and effort and sacrifice that everybody put in, but all the work that Denzel had put in to have his dream come true to a reality was just unbelievable.
Well, I'm happy that happened for your family because you deserve it. But I must admit, I did cut you out a couple times after you moved to Florida when I'm scraping my windshield and I'm thinking, you know, V is probably walking around right now in shorts. It's about 72 degrees down there. So I apologize for that, but. Yeah, you didn't have to deal with that anymore anyway.
Yeah, we've been down in Florida since, 2020. Yeah, he won't say anything, but I will. I mean, he's the one that made it all happen. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
And he's the one that made it all happen. So, once again, kudos to a fine young man who's always looking out for others. You know, he's constantly giving back to the city of Lansing. I mean, he doesn't talk about it a lot, but you know, right. He donates like tens of thousands of dollars to the Boys and Girls Club of Lansing almost each year. He gives back to the Food Bank of Lansing. He does a lot of charitable things that really don't go in the newspaper, and he'll keep it like that. You know what I mean? Like every Christmas, he gives back to families in Lansing, and he always says that, hey, call the Boys and Girls Club and see what they need. I'm gonna take care of five families for Christmas. He's constantly doing stuff like that, things that I never have to prompt him to do or never ask him to do. Probably there's some things he's done I don't even know. So, once again, a good dude, man. Got a good heart.
Well, both of your sons got to Final Fours, so they went a little further than Dad. Drew, as an assistant coach then at Loyola, now head coach of the program, and he had to build the program. Sometimes there are down years or lean years, but I have a lot of confidence that Drew is the right guy for that job, and the Ramblers will be back.
Yeah, when you think about Drew getting that job, man, and I mean, what an opportunity for him at 29 years old when he got hired. I mean, how many guys get hired to a Division I head coaching job at 29 years old? And He has quite a bit of Final Four experience, actually being on the 2015 team as a grad assistant at Michigan State. they went to the Final Four then, and then he goes to the Final Four in 2018 with Loyola. And first year, they went his first year as a head coach, they went 25 games, and they win a conference tournament, win the league, and then they go to the NCAA tournament. So, I mean, and this year was rough. You know, they switched to the Atlantic 10 Conference. They came in dead last. He's not happy. He's not happy, but you know, Drew. He's out working. The next day, he's out recruiting. I sent him a text. He didn't return it for 3 days. I'm like, he said, "My bad, Dad. My bad. I was out recruiting. I had my head down for 3 or 4 days, and I'm back on track. Matter of fact, we're in Chicago right now, visiting Drew. We just saw Zell play 2 games up this way against the Windy City Bulls, and we're gonna visit with Drew and stay here for the throughout Monday.
Okay,
my granddaughter. So you know, Drew's constantly on the grind, working, and like you said, Jack, like you said, he's gonna turn it around.
Yeah, and you know, the story with his daughter, your granddaughter, is a great one about family support and love and what that can do. So you know, everyone was happy that. That turned out a lot better than it looked like it was going to. But when you think about Drew, how many coaches have been to Final Fours with two different staffs, two different schools at that age?
Well, not many I know. Not many I know. I mean, just to go to a Final Four period has to be the thrill of a lifetime. It's crazy because my wife and I used to always sit back and watch the television, watch the games, and we said, hey, one day we're going to go to a Final Four. And this is when the boys were younger and they started to get older. We're like, man, we got to get to a Final Four. And in 2015, we go to a Final Four. We have one son playing. The other one's a grad assistant on the team, so we knocked out like two birds with one stone. And then again, to go in 2018 with Drew as an assistant with Loyola, I mean, that's crazy. And I don't know many young people who've had that kind of mentorship where they can, you know, obviously being under Coach Izzo, not only being under Coach Izzo, guess what? You're under Dwayne Stevens, you're under, you know, OG, you're under great guys, you're under Porter Moser, you're learning from everybody, you know what I mean? You play for Campy for 4 years, you've had some of the best coaches in the country, some of the most longest tenured coaches in the country who know about winning, who know about coaching, who know about people, who know about everything, to have that kind of mentorship and have the kind of attitude and work ethic that Drew has, you know he's going to turn it around, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of time.
Say hi to Drew. We had Zell on the show yesterday, and say hi to Kathy for me. And we'll see you soon, V.
Okay, Jack, thanks for having me. I'll tell Kathy you said hi.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.